All right, let's open our Bibles quickly, Psalm 119. We are going to read from where we stopped last time, which was, we saw in verse 48, right? Yeah, we're going to read from verse 49, and I want us to read straight on till we get to verse 64. And we're going to read it the way we do sometimes. I read one verse, you read the next verse, I read another one, then we'll go on like that until we come to the end, and then we will sit down and teach on it briefly. All right, if you are there, say, The Lord is good. Verse 49. David said, remember the word to your servant in which you have made me to hope. 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. Verse 51 says, the arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remember your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and I comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. 54, your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Now, verse 55, O Lord, I remember your name in the night, and I keep your law. Please, let me read that in the New Living Translation. It says, I reflect at night on who you are, O Lord. Therefore, I obey your instructions. Verse 56, this has become mine, that I observe your precepts. Again, I like New Living Translation there. It says, this is how I spend my life, you know, obeying your commandments. Some other translation will tell you that this is my reward, all right? That is, obeying your commandments. This has become mine. This is what I rejoice in, that I observe your precepts. Now, 57, say, the Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. Verse 60. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. Please read that again. Verse 60. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. Read it one more time. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. Verse 61 says, the cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forsaken your law. 62, at midnight I shall arise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. Verse 63, I am a companion of those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. 64, the earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's sit down for a short while. Then we'll stand up later to pray. Now, we have been looking at how that's the most important prayer that a Christian is supposed to pray. Let me just review for a minute the difference between the prayer of Gentiles and the prayers of believers. The prayers of Gentiles are dotted and filled with their needs. They are concerned about what shall we eat, what shall we drink. Their prayers are filled with temporal issues, the things of this life. They are not primarily concerned about eternal things. They are focused on how to sustain this flesh, how to cater to the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Those are the things that fill their prayers. All right? Even though you are praying in the name of Jesus, if you are praying like that, you are praying like Gentiles. No matter, even if you are praying in the name of Jesus, even if you are sowing a seed, you are not lying to get what you want. You are not deceiving anybody. You are praying in the name of Jesus, but your prayers are filled with what you will eat, what you will drink, how you will settle yourself in life. You too, you need to have a house. You need to have a car. This is the year in which you must buy a car. This year, you understand, you are beginning to pray like who? Gentiles. You are praying like Gentiles. The prayers of Christians are centered around the kingdom of God. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. Again, people may be asking, so are you saying I'm not supposed to pray about what I need? I didn't say that. But the prayers, when you do that, they are what? Dismissive. It is casting prayer. It's a prayer in which I throw the thing off. Lord, I don't want to think about it. I want you to think about it. I don't want to bother myself with it. I don't want it to keep me awake at night. Do you understand? So let me cast it upon you. Do you follow my point? A story just came to my mind now. I've told the story here before. But since it came to my mind, maybe the Holy Spirit wants us to hear it again. I read it in a book or a tract or something. It really happened. And a man died, owned a lot of property. And when he died, he left his property to his son. Houses here and there. This was in the United States. So, of course, the father being an old, kind man, there were people living in his house, in some of his apartments, that were paying very little money because they had been staying there for a long time. And the young man being very vibrant, do you understand, full of energy, they said that my father doesn't know how to do business. Times have changed. Now that his father has gone and he's taken over, he decided to write everybody a letter reviewing their rent or evicting those who are not willing to pay. Now, one of the tenants, all right, in one of the apartments was a couple, an elderly couple, retired couple, who didn't have money, were just managing to live on just a little bit of pension that they had. So that young man, he had an agent, of course, managing his property. So he had told the agent to evict those people. So they had written them letters. Of course, they couldn't pay the new rent. There was no way they would pay. They didn't have the money. They were elderly. You know, so they didn't. He now wrote them letters. And they are giving them, let's assume, this Friday is the final day of you must go. So the agent one day decided to even go to the house and go and see those people. And when he got there, he was about to knock. Then he changed his mind. He didn't knock. After he knocked, nobody answered. He decided to just walk around the house. As he was walking around the house, now listen to this, he saw a window open. So now, when angels are working on your case, you know, I'm sorry to say this. You know, one of the reasons why I sound so different as a preacher is that, which word do I use? Okay, let's do it like this. I just sound very different because the way I see some of these things, a lot of people now say that when I got to the door, the Holy Spirit said that I shouldn't knock. Holy Spirit said, go around the back, you know? And I went around the back. Most times Holy Spirit is leading you, doesn't see anything. He doesn't see anything. You don't even know. You know, last time, you know, my wife wanted to travel, you know, I took her to the taxi park and there was a small issue. But the bus she wanted to take to Lagos, okay? There was, the seat was full. She was supposed to book online. She didn't book online. We tried early that morning. They have closed it for the day, so you had to go to their station. You know, we left the place and we went to another place. She got there and said, I don't like these people are talking to me. I'm uncomfortable. Let me go back to the other place. I'll take bus going to another part of Lagos. When we got there, the lady handed the booking just came out and said, madam, that as soon as you left, you know, shortly after you left, somebody called, I mean, somebody canceled his booking, opening one seat, which my wife said, if the bus was empty, that is the seat I would have chosen. He said, it's my favorite seat. That's one I always pick, even if the bus is empty. I said to her, I said, listen, did you notice that when you got there, you just said, please, let's go out to the end. Here, I don't like the way, I feel a bit uneasy here, the way they are behaving. I said, if you're a more spiritual person, you'll have said that Holy Spirit said I should leave here and go back. I said, he didn't say that. You know, but I said, mark my words, is the Holy Spirit or the angel that actually nudged you and said, go back. I have cleared a seat for you. Most times the Holy Spirit is leading you. He's not whispering to you. He just leads you. I was watching John Paul Jackson the other day. And he said that, I said it was a prophet, you know, that one day he actually saw an angelic operation. The Holy Spirit wanted to lead somebody to go and talk to somebody in a mall. You understand? So the fellow was going to the mall, all right, in the house, just said, I need to buy, let's say, milk. Got up to go to the mall. And you know, when we are driving on these big roads, you have to exit at certain points. This was in the United States. Massive roads. I know the way, if you miss your exit, like my friend was saying, now should be straight. You know? So, as this woman was about to exit, a car started, you know, like, you want to turn, one car will slow down. Then you pick up speed to overtake that guy. The guy picks up speed again. Then you want to, okay, he has picked up speed, let me slow down. Anyway, that's how they did until she missed her turn. And had to go and take the next turn, which of course was maybe like the next, under 15 kilometers. By the time she got to that turn, she just said, there's another mall here. Why do I have to turn back to the one near my house? That was how she entered that mall and minister to the person the Holy Spirit wanted her to minister to. This is the point. Jackson saw it and saw the other man's car getting a kick from angels. Angels will shove the car. Then they will pull it back. saw that what that man was doing. It was they were angels pulling the car, slowing the car back, and guiding the woman to miss that turn. See, you may be praying, Holy Spirit, whisper to me. You know, I don't believe in that prayer. I have said to you, just obey the word of God. When the Holy Spirit wants to whisper, talk to you, he knows how to say it in a language you will understand. If he has to shout, Sam, people say, Holy Spirit is a gentleman, he doesn't shout. He's not in the Bible. He screamed for Samuel 4 times. Samuel, Samuel, Samuel didn't know who was talking. That was Eli. He went. You see, God is not a, he's not a computer, he's a person. Are you getting my point? Look, many of us have had to deal with people who have hearing, you know, disabilities. Once you know, you talk loud. If you, being human, can make that adjustment for your friend, how much more God, who is in heaven? Please, excuse me. The problem God has is stubborn people who don't, they don't obey instructions. They are fixed in their ways. They are fixed in their ways. If this is the way they want to go, I have seen people say it before. In fact, the one I remember, one sister came and said, oh, that one that pastor is saying is his problem. As far as I am concerned, you open your mouth and say that. It's not as if you disagree with, say, no, they we interpreted that Romans chapter 5. That's not what I think. See, my pastor said it like this. I haven't read it. I think it's like this. No, it's more of, that one he said. You know what she said? I remember that case. The brother was talking about, he was teaching on marriage. And he was saying that, listen, all these external things are not the issue about marriage. All right? They go back to their hostel. The lady said, that one, that reverend said, this is probably, as far as I'm concerned, I'm still going to find myself a tall, dark, and handsome man to marry. Let me not tell you the kind of husband you will find when you talk like that. He will be tall, he will be dark, he will be handsome, and he will carry a gun. That's the part of it he did not envisage. It's called he gave them meat according to their lust and sent leanness into their souls. Let's get these things clear. So back to what I was saying. All right, that's when God has people who don't listen. And I know where I went into that from. You know, I said a story. Okay? So this man got there. He decided not to knock. Or is that he knocked? He didn't reply. He decided to walk around the house. He got to the window. And suddenly he paused. Now we know it was the Holy Spirit. Gave him keen hearing. He heard the old man and the old woman praying inside. No, they were not praying. One of them one of them said to the other, please hurry, you know, we are supposed to pray about this eviction matter. So he paused. So that one came, began to pray. It was the woman that was talking. And the woman said, Lord, thank you very much for your goodness, for your kindness. We know we are your children. You watch over us. He said, now we have been told to move. We don't have the money they said we should pay. And they have been given maybe 3 days we are supposed to clear from here. He said, really, we don't mind leaving. He said, that means we are going to be homeless. He said, it's not as if we mind being homeless. We are your children. Wherever we are, you will be with us. That's what they said. Wherever we are, you will be with us. He said, just that the other person, that's her husband. Just that you know that, let's call him John. He said, you know John is having a bad back, so it's going to be difficult for him to sleep as a homeless person. You know what the Holy Spirit did? Planted that agent there to be listening. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm talking about casting what? Your burdens upon the Lord. When that guy finished hearing it, he snaked back and went away and he didn't say anything again. God just took him there to listen to what he's about to do. So next time the owner of the house came, say, Hafa, have you evicted them? That guy said, look, I'm no longer in the evicting business. So I made up my mind, that property I'm not managing again for you. If you want to evict that old man and his wife, you're on your own. So the guy said, why? Then he told him what he had. I said, in fact, I'm planning to go and visit them today. I'm going to buy them groceries. Americans take groceries. I'm going to shop for them. I'm going to give to them. He said, my friend, stop listening to other people's prayers. He said, when you get there, tell them their rent has been paid. When you get them, tell them one anonymous donor. Or one, which one do you use now? Not donor now. Benefactor, whatever it is. Pay their rent, and they can stay there till they die. He dipped his hand in his pocket, gave that guy $100. Say, add it to the groceries you are going to buy. That was how God solved those people's problem. Are you getting my point? When he said, cast your burdens upon the Lord. That's what it means. They just went to cast their burdens. Many of us, you know, we don't pray, we complain. The prayer we pray is a method, you know, one of those many methods. That's why I say, if God has not heard you, try praise. Yes, unless you make. You think you're dealing with a computer. Say, press Control F, delete. You don't realize you're talking to a person. You think you're dealing with a computer. Say, how what happened when you got there? I tried to enter the document, they open. Hold shift, and then hit the Windows key. And God is looking like, I mean, they press like this. No, just like you are talking with a living person who loves you, who knows you more than you know yourself.
Yes, sir.
Who knows what you really need. Many of the things we are asking for, God says, you know, I'm not going to give you. You don't need it. You've invented problems. There are times people invent problems. One day, a cousin of mine called and said, I should send her some money. Why? Wants to travel abroad. I said, what's happening? Young guy said, uncle, the way the country is going these days. Hi! I said, why are you saying this thing on the phone? You should have come to say it in front of me. You know what? You know where I'm going. I will have woken you up. You don't work. You've not finished school. You are telling those of us that in this country are trying to gather money to give the money we are gathering in this country to be able to live the way the country is going these days. Yeah. You know, your mind, you're just like, God, though. Why did you create this kind of distance? They can talk on the phone. If I come to my face, can't talk him. One young man sent me a mail long ago that please, a door just opened. I think second year engineering student. This opportunity has come for him to leave Nigeria and move to North America. And he doesn't want to miss it now. So nobody, please, he wants to see how I can help him with money. I just clicked delete. So if I read this mail again, there will be a problem in the society. So let me just, because if I read it again, I will know the name of the person. All right? I felt like, for goodness sake, engineering student. But this is the point. I happen to know the structure of this life. If you want to go to that America or Canada, wherever you want to go, it is better to have that your B engine in your hands. We are talking under the sun now, physically speaking, because often that's what we are operating. We don't believe in God. See? All of us have agreed we don't believe in God. No, you know what I'm trying to say? That the person who came now, who's asking that, is door. Because if we believed in God, you'll have believed that same God will take care of you here. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
So looking under the sun, I can tell you that your bachelor's in engineering will have been an advantage. And in Nigeria, this was a federal university of many years ago. The tuition was nothing. You know the way it is with federal universities. The tuition is next to nothing. What you need is money to eat. At the end of the day, they give you that degree, then you can go. Now, why am I saying that? So many of the prayers we pray, that's why the Lord doesn't answer. He said, you get up, you create unnecessary problems. And say, I should solve them. There are societies where the credit card works very well. Where the credit card system works. People carry their card. They can't control their appetite. They buy all kinds of things. And start praying that God should give them money to pay. You know, that every society has its own problems, its own advantages, its advantages. Some of our disadvantages are actually an advantage. What am I going to say? When a new phone comes out, you know in our country, you have to collect the money complete to buy it. So for that reason, if you can't buy it, you can't buy it. In many of those countries, no, it's not like that. The new phone comes out, you just walk in there and say, please, I want the new Samsung S8. They just tell you how much you will pay on a monthly basis. You go to our new shop, you want the new 72-inch curved organic LED, OLED, all right, smart TV. It's 1.something million. They won't tell you to call it, you know, just say, okay, what you pay is, in fact, the way they do it, for the first 1 year, no interest. When they want to suck you in, first year, no interest. What they don't tell you is that by the second year, if you have not finished paying, interest payment is calculated from day one. Those fine prints are so fine. You know, all kinds of jokes come up in my mind. So I just used to make you laugh. My friend of mine the other day, he sent me a picture he took in a Lamborghini. I said, boy, this is fine. He said, they say I should pay $100 to drive it. He said, my brother. He said, my mind caught. He said, I'm not fit. He said, I don't want to wreck myself because I drove a Lamborghini. He said, we read so many stories of people crashing those cars because they are high performance cars. You think it's your normal, regular Toyota Camry. So you press the accelerator. Now when you're inside the lagoon, you don't even know. And incidentally, the week before, I read the story of a man who crashed a Ferrari. The picture was there, shredded, burnt, complete. He bought it 1 hour before. An hour before was when he bought it. So my friend said, so I said that, but that $100 does not cover insurance. He said, my brother, that's what I'm talking about, though. He said, my brother, he said, when you crash the car finish, that's when they tell you that insurance is only for the tire. He said, I beg, I don't want to ruin myself in America because I go drive Lamborghini. I mean, a car of maybe $400,000. I said, I beg. The Lord is good. Now, what was I even saying? So I'm talking about the, you know, the fine print. So people, they won't read those fine prints. They just go in there. They tell you to buy now, pay. So you collect the TV, put it in your house, and replace your 42-inch LED, but not smart TV, which is clear. You can see it clearly. Yeah. It's high definition. Yeah. You could see clearly. You remove it. Now, this one ruins people. Then they add that one to it. Add the phone. Oh, I forgot about the furniture. Everything. And then at the end of the month, sometimes it's just $100. You don't have to pay everything. Everybody's collecting from you. $50, $100, $200. At the end of the month, you know, and there are people who don't do credit. NEPA, they know they do credit. Power, you know? Water, all those things, gas. They don't understand it's your credit business. Give us our money. So you are paying everybody. You now see people with responsible, decent jobs owing just $200 a month. By the time you owe $200 a month, on credit card, interest rate is 40% per annum. Because it's supposed to be a short-term loan. It is accumulating. You see a man who's been working all these years. He tells you he's owing $50,000. You are wondering, like, how can you be owing $50,000? Then that's our spring. Father, in the name of Jesus. One of these, where they're able to collect some of these, our seats from our pocket. Is our heads, our focus, you know, our eyes are in the wrong place. Then that starts sewing special seat to deliver yourself from a $50,000 that you incurred for nothing. And this is another part. You want to keep the TV, keep the phone, keep everything, and God should deliver you. You know how God delivers people? God will tell, okay, I'm going to deliver you the wisdom. One, that television, sell it. If you don't want to sell it, burn it. If you burn it, don't worry. I, the Lord, will buy it from you. It's okay. But I have to reduce you to where your head is correct. So many of our prayers, that is a problem. There are problems that we generated for nothing. That's what James meant when he said that we pray to spend it on our lust. The credit system has its advantages. It's supposed to help business move, but it's one of the greatest temptations of mankind. People buy what they can't afford just because they claim they can be praying, and they now start praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need money. He said, my son, you don't need money. What you need is what? Sense. Wisdom. What you need is contentment. What you need is the ability to stand and say, I don't need to watch TV. Not for now. Why? I can't pay for it. What you need to say, look, must I use an expensive phone? Most of those phones, most people that carry them, they don't use 80% of the capabilities. Most of them are for just for posing. Everybody has to see the phone you are using. The Lord will never fund our bad habits. Those are things to bear in mind. The Lord does not fund bad habits. He does not reward bad behavior. You get my point? He does not reward bad behavior. If your prayer points are not legitimate according to His word, He doesn't expect to hear it from you. Some of those prayer points, it should be confession of sin. You know what they call confession of sin? You go to God and say, Lord, you know, I was thinking about asking you for this, but I want you to know that it's a stupid prayer point. I came here to tell you that please take the desire from my heart. Are you getting my point? There are some prayer points. Look, now I've told you, forget pictures on your wall. What did I say? You are planning to wed. You are, your mind is the dome. The dome. My reception, the dome. I know what I'm telling you. You've seen the bridal. What do they call it? No, those women. Not the tree. The tree includes the men, the women. No, just the women I'm talking about. Oh, the bridesmaids, thank you. You see your bridesmaids wearing this and you've seen that, you know, you've seen them, hallelujah, you've seen them. I can see them. You see your cake, praise the Lord. 20 step, amen. You are seeing it. Tell me to go to work, you are seeing things like that. Honest, if you know what the Lord thinks of some of these prayers, you'll be so ashamed. It's okay, so even if these spiritual forces were working, this is how you want to use them. Look, you can't even settle down and be conceiving your mission in life. Like I went to Solomon, asked for anything. He forgot everything else apart from the mission I've given him. Instead of praying, Lord, I want my wedding to be like this. Pray, Lord, I want it to be that no matter what my wedding is like, my marriage must be fantastic. That's what you need. Do you know it is more? Listen to me. Do you know if God had to make a choice of two things? If he had to make a choice between giving you a fantastic wedding and making you happy with no serious ceremony, he would choose the latter. Do you know why? Because that one endures to eternity. And is more interested in the spiritual development he's bringing forth in us. He's more interested. That is, it is a saddening point for him if he needs to do that to make you happy. Did you hear what I said? That is, it breaks his heart that is required to make you happy. One day I was preaching somewhere. I know. I was just telling stories, not to young. It was a young people's program. So I was giving them counsel about life. And I told my story that when I asked my wife to marry me, I went, of course. I didn't say, please marry me. Then if you agree, let me go and look for your ring. No. I bought the ring first. And I held it. And I told them that I bought the ring for 300 naira. Let's use today's terminologies. The ring was not more than, in today's terms, not more than 1,500 naira. Okay, let's use dollars so everybody can relate with it. The ring was not, no, I'm not lying to you. The ring was not worth more than $5. I went to the market in Lagos, bought it from there, held it, and traveled to go and ask the girl to marry me. And as I was saying it, and I told the rest of the story. I just saw one, everybody was laughing. You know, I was just telling the story. And when I said the ring was 300, the whole large congregation, massive number of people, they all started laughing. At that point, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. Just narrowed my eyes on one girl. And she told her friends, I won't take it. Please, let me just advise you. Be careful how you respond when the word of God is coming forth. Yes, yes. Because there are things you will say, and God will say, nobody will offer you. You know, look, for God, it's more important that, what kind of thing makes him happy? How does he expect us to respond to such situations? What the kind of response he expects is this. So it is doable. Lord, why is my heart so lifted? Haughty eyes, God dislikes. A proud heart. What's a haughty eye? The eyes that says, I won't take it. Why? It's too cheap for me. Who are you? It's more important to God that, look, this young woman is happy and glad and joyful for having a 300 naira ring. It's more important to him than him putting on her finger a diamond, ring to say, okay, how much is this ring? It's $1,000. To the Lord, let me tell you something about God. Please, let me just say this. To him, both of them is the same amount of effort. Are you getting my point? It's the same effort to get your engagement ring to be worth $1,000 and for it to be worth $5. For him, is the same thing. So when you come to him and say, Lord, I want the man that will marry me to give me an engagement ring of $1,000. You know what he's going to ask you? Why? He's going to ask you that question. Why? That is, I can do it. It's not a big deal. But why is it important? Let me give an example. Assuming my son came up to me now and said, Daddy, I need a new shirt. And I said, no problem. I'll tell your mother to get it for you. And as he's leaving, he comes back and says, I would like it to be, pink. Or let's say, he said, okay, I want it to be sky blue. All right? Do you know white, sky blue, red, pink, all of them are the same color, the same price? But if he comes back and says, I want it to be sky blue, what would be my next question? It's simple. Why? Why, he's my son. I'm just curious. Why do you want it to be sky blue? And I actually expect a response. Even though for me, it's the same thing. Look, if the shirt is 2,000 naira, whether I pick it as white, pink, blue, different shades of blue, or black, is the same price. But for my son to open his mouth and specify a color, suddenly, my antenna will go up and say, why? I expect to hear things like, actually, why I need it is because our graduation is tomorrow, and all of us have been told to wear blue. Then I will say, okay. But if he tells me that, anytime we go out, my friends are always laughing at me that I don't have blue shirt. What do I do? I will say, sit down. A lesson will start. Some of the things I teach my kids. I said, you are a leader in life, you're not a follower. The opinion of your friends don't dictate your life. Listen to me. So you know what I'll do? I'll go and buy him 10 red shirts. I said, now you're wearing 10 red shirts. Yeah, listen. You're wearing 10 red shirts for the next 10 days. Different shades of red. Until your friends have gotten tired of laughing. Until you have gotten to a point where their laughter doesn't matter to you. Until you wear your red shirt with pride. Then when you come back, and when you don't ask me about the blue shirt again, I'll now tell your mother, I think you can give him 7 shades of blue now. Is it that I couldn't buy the blue shirt? Of course I could. But when my son cannot be comfortable anymore in the midst of friends, because he doesn't have what his friends think is appropriate, then I have a problem. Then I turn it to a matter of prayer. And I turn it to a matter of instruction. And I know you can't live like this. Peer pressure must not handle you. Can you see what I'm saying here? And I'm an earthly father. How much more our heavenly father? The spiritual things are more important to him. He can, listen, that $1,000 ring and the $5 ring to him, look, you must understand spiritually they are the same thing. He can do like this, boom. And an angel will deliver one carved, to your exact finger size with your name inscribed on it. He can do it that easily. But the question he's going to ask is, why is he important to you? And then, and because everything has a reason. So if he's asking like, amongst all my friends, I'm the only one that does not have a diamond ring. The next thing he tells is that, what did James say? You are competing. I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you. Can I give you? Yes, but I need to solve that competitive spirit. So many of the prayers we pray, that's the problem he has with them. And that's why James said, the reason why, let me explain something to you. James knew the Lord. He knew the Lord personally. He walked with him physically. He saw him do all kinds of miracles. He saw him that there was no sick person that came to him that had faith in his heart that he could not heal. He saw Jesus walk on water. James saw everything. So he said to us, if you don't have something, it's because you did not ask. He said, but I asked. He said, then you asked wrongly. And when he says wrongly, it's not computerized asking. Do you press the correct shift F key? No. It is, what was your motive? Your motive was wrong. If your motive wasn't wrong, there's nothing the Lord wouldn't do for you. James said it and he was sure of it. He said, you did not ask. You asked, you are telling me you asked, then your motive was wrong. And what is wrong in the motive is it's your desire, your need was stimulated by your lust. If it was not stimulated by your lust, I know. This man walked with Jesus. Jesus gave them direct instructions. Whatever you ask the Father in my name. He gave it to them directly. See, some of these things we do, all kinds of magumago we use. Say, if you need God to give you 10,000, you go and sow 500. You know, I don't believe a word of it. And my reason is simple. It takes away from what Jesus said. That's my reason. That's the, look, I have, look, you can operate any spiritual principle, but it takes away from what Jesus said. Jesus said it clearly. Ask the Father in my name. He didn't want anything added to it. I tell Christians all the time, the law of giving and receiving is the law of gravity, is there. Do you understand my point? It's just part of life. And in one of my books, I made a statement. I said it was not written as an incentive for giving. It was written as an encouragement for the giving heart. It's just a law for you to know it's there. But the Lord told us clearly, if we ask anything at all in his name, James was too sure of it. That's why he wrote for us, said, look, you ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly. And when they're trying to explain something, our desires, our personal issues, the prayers of Gentiles, we should be careful. Do we have the desires? Yes. Do we have personal needs sometimes? Yes. What do? We cast them, throw them off. Lord, this shouldn't be my problem. This is your problem. This should not be my problem. Why is it on my heart? Why is it disturbing me? Lord, let me toss it over to you. No, I don't want it on my heart. That's why Paul said, the first thing God gives is what? The peace of God. The peace of God that passes all understanding. That is the first thing that God gives to you. Why? Because many times, the real trouble is not the need. The real trouble is our emotional response to the situation. That's a matter of fact. God said, look, the real trouble is our emotional response to the situation. That's the, look, sometimes we're asking God for things. You know, sometimes if we're the ones counseling somebody, we'll have told the person to wait. But we ourselves, we are not able to wait. So God says, look, you know you are supposed to wait. But why can't you wait? You are not sure the growth is happening. You get to my point. So for that reason, you are agitated. So when you pray, God said, let me give you the peace that helps you to what? Wait. That's the issue of the prayer of Gentiles. Why we Christians don't focus on, praying like Gentiles. We pray as believers, children of God, that have faith in the love of the Father. So when we are praying, we know that what we're asking for, listen, he knows what we need. So back to Psalm 119. So Psalm 119 is our prayer. This is our whole life. Solomon said, fear God, do what? Obey his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. David said, this has become my own, to obey your word. It has become my own. So today we read from verse 49, and we ended it in 64. Now, I want to just explain a few points there. This is how we Christians pray. Now, like I said, if you look at that, the whole of that book, Psalm 119, the whole of that chapter, broken into different parts, it looks very repetitive. It's very repetitive. Incline my ear to your word. Incline my ear to your testimonies. Incline my heart to love you. Incline my heart to obey you. Show me your word. Show me your will. Give me understanding. It fills the place. These things I've said, if you put together, you will hear it at least 50 times. The man will say, look, in the midst of my trouble, he won't say, Lord, deliver me. Lord, in the midst of my troubles, give me understanding. My soul clings to the dust. Give me understanding and I shall live. The princes are talking about me. Enemies are conspiring against me. As for me, I will meditate on your word. Yeah, you getting my point here? Later on, we'll talk about, maybe not today. We'll tell you about affliction. It was good for me that I was afflicted. Why? Now I obey your word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. In the midst of my affliction, I discovered. Do you understand my point? Everything about Psalm 119 is just, Lord, let me not depart from obeying your word. Everything in Psalm 119 was, Lord, keep my eyes focused on your promise. Everything is about, Lord, where I am right now does not look like where you promised. Revive me according to that promise. Oh, why am I where I am? Why am I right here? It's likely it's because of my ways. If my ways were totally in agreement with your ways, Lord, I would be where you wanted me to be. So the prayer will now be, Lord, I have declared my own ways. Revive me according to your word. That is, Lord, oh, take my ways away. Remove my own way from me. Teach me your own ways. Because if I was walking in your way, Lord, this is not what I mean. And it's not this where I want to be. It's where you said I will be. It's very important for us to understand it. What God wants to do is to control us, be the one inside us, around us, determining our inheritance. He's the one that chose the inheritance of Israel for Israel. He's the one that mapped out the promised land. Abraham, I'm taking you to a land. Abraham didn't know there was any land. He was okay where he was. It was God that came and said, I'll give you a land. Then I'll give you a son. Your descendants will inherit this land. He said the same thing. So the land was his idea. And that's what it is. And that's why David will keep on saying, there is a word that you list to your servant. Revive me according to that word. I hope you're getting my point here. So that's what this whole Psalm 119 is about. So that's why in that Psalm, verse 49, David said, remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. The word hope means I have expectation based on what you have spoken. My expectations are based, or my expectation is based upon what I discovered in your word. Daniel said, I, Daniel, understood by reading the books the number of the years that the Lord appointed for the desolation of Jerusalem, that is 70 years. He was reading the book of Jeremiah when he found out. They began to pray, Lord, revive us according to your word. Then what did he do? Daniel now began to declare their ways. And said, these have been our ways. And that's why we got here in the first place. Lord, we forsake that way. Revive us according to your promise. And because of that prayer, God began to move the machinery, put the machinery in motion to confirm the word that he promised. That's prayer. He said, the word has been my comfort in my affliction. He said, this is my comfort in my affliction. I am not supposed to focus my eyes on the affliction. I focus on the word. He said, your word is what comforts me in all my troubles. Now, I want to bring out some issues here. Now, in verse 55, because if you read everything, David was talking about his reaction. Let me just rush through this. 52, he says, I remember your ordinances from of old, O Lord. That's 52. I meditate on your age-old regulations. They comfort me. What does that mean? I check the way you said things have been. Let me just really say something here. Now, everybody, please listen to this. Many times in life, this is what happens. Like I told you, I'm careful when we want to, you know, regulate our lives by results. I'm very careful. However, if things are not going the way you expect them to go, if things are not turning out the way you expect them to turn out, this is what David was teaching here in prayer. Like I said earlier, our first prayer is to go and say, Lord, what am I doing that's not proper? I hope you're getting my point. You analyze your ways. Sometimes you say, look, I prayed. Was my prayer proper? Did I pray like Solomon prayed? Like Jesus taught us to pray? Or I prayed like the Gentiles? You do those, I said before, that's what fasting is about. Fasting is not at all. Now, please, I need to say it again. It is not at all the way to change God's mind. Your hunger does not move him one inch. Your hunger does only one thing for you. It makes you hungry. God does not in any way reckon with it. Please, I need to say that for clients to understand. Whether you have eaten or you have not eaten does not shift him in any way. It's as it affects you that matters. That is why I tell most Christians, and look, I'm convinced about it, that if you say you are fasting and you are pacing up and down, your stomach is paining you, don't think it is spiritual discipline not to eat anything. Get a glass of juice, akamu, if it's prepared, because the process of preparation is a distraction. If it's already prepared, you have the drink in the fridge, take it. One roll of bread your wife left there, collect it. Eat it, drink it, and continue with the fast. You have not broken the fast. I pray Christians will get this point. You have not broken the fast. We are not doing legalism here. It is not when last did you eat. No. See, and that is why if you are hungry, and you are washing clothes, you are not fasting. It's the day of your fast. You now bring out all your clothes to iron. He said, why? He said, at least light day today. Normal light, not the day. You have set this Saturday aside for fasting. Then you now decide that as you're about to start, you know, Satan is a tempter. He will go to this headquarters and say, bring their light. As much as you see light, light. Okay, please. Quickly pump water. You get my point. You know, there's light. You quickly bring out your clothes. You are ironing. Check him before they take the light. You know, Satan, he will go and beg the EEDC manager, please don't take their light. Please. Don't take the light. Oh. They will need that light from 9 o'clock. The power will be on till 1. You will iron from 9 to 11. You have not eaten. No? As soon as I finish ironing, you now remember that your rug has not been vacuumed. You plug the vacuum, you will vacuum. By the time you finish, it is 2 o'clock. And you know, if you have a religious Pentecostal mind, you think you are fasting. Why? You have not eaten today. I have come to tell you today, you are not fasting. You are walking. Are you getting my point? You did not fast. You are fasting, they suddenly tell you, knock, 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 knock. Say your friend is about, okay, well, let's say, hey, Neymar is playing his first match at, what's the new club? PSG. I stop with these things when I'm reading news. Neymar is playing his first match. By the way, one of our brothers said, you know why God made Neymar the most expensive player? That used to brandish the name Jesus. Even though they were persecuting him, he would brandish the name Jesus. Jesus said, okay, is that okay? Since you are not ashamed of me before men, I will not be ashamed of you before my father and his holy money. Are you getting my point? Just getting money. The Lord is good. So you say, Neymar is playing his first match as PSG. And you know what will happen? That day, DSTV will refuse to switch off your subscription. You quickly go there, you put it on. You have not eaten, no? I'm watching Neymar. Verily, verily, I say unto you are not fasting. Because that match is 2 hours, you know that. 45 minutes, break. 45 minutes extra time. No, so? Am I not right? Have they changed the timing? That's enough. 45, break and extra time. 2 hours. Don't forget, you have iron though. By evening, when they say we should stay, break the fast, 6 o'clock. By the time it's 5 o'clock, hey, kalabobolobo dota, hey, shatatatatata, hey, plop, 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 in the name of Jesus. Come on, don't fool God, don't fool me. The Bible says, behold, God is not mocked. Who are you trying to mock? You didn't fast. You're on hunger strike. A fasting man, that's what I'm talking about. When a woman says, I want to fast, it is to consider my ways. God does not change. It is to check whether I'm aligned with his ways. It is to try and hear from him. That is why football is worse than food. That's why ironing of clothes is just as bad as frying egg to eat. There's no difference. Both of them are distractions. And that's why I say, if at that time you are the type that your stomach starts spinning, you start trembling. You know, some people, once they've not eaten like this, they start seeing double. It's not vision, it's double. There's a difference between seeing vision and seeing double. And say, I put my body under. Eating is not a sin. When Paul said, I put my body under, what he meant was that I refuse to, you know, I don't fall for the things of comfort. I don't fall for sin so that God does not lay me aside. You want to pray like this. You stand up, your head will shake. Listen, it's not the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's hunger. No, I know what I'm telling you. Just take it. You can't go and cook beans at that time. Do you get my point? You can't drive out to the fast food joint to go and collect something. All of them constitute what? Distractions. The Christian fast is that, no. It doesn't have to be, listen, let me just tell you the truth. It doesn't have to be the whole day. You can do this regularly for a month and you're working. You have a business you're running. What does it just mean? Just start, okay, if you can't take leave from work, if it's your business, you normally get to the office by 8, 9. Tell everybody, please, this month, I'll be arriving by 12. You iron the day before, do everything the day before. When you get back home, prepare. 6, as soon as you wake up, you dash into the bathroom. You have a bath, you brush your teeth so that it wakes you up properly. And don't go back to that room so that you don't fall asleep. Stand. I find it easy. This is the world, have smart devices. Take a message that's like 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Stand and listen to it. Let somebody teach you the word of faith. I was telling somebody about, it was Bishop and I talking today. That one of the reasons why I like a man like Sadhu Salvaraj is that he wakes you up to the realm of the spirit. Yeah. You can just listen to him for 30 minutes. Believe me, by hearing about spiritual things, your spirit becomes keen. You take a Bible, you read it. Then you start praying. And that's why I went to this, because you start assessing your life. Yes, my business is not moving forward. That's why I'm trying to fast and pray. Because I'm supposed to be faithful. I'm supposed to be fruitful. I'm supposed to multiply. Why is it not happening the way I thought it should happen? Then I start praying. Because actually the Holy Spirit wants to communicate things to us. He does. Many times it's the activities of the day that doesn't let us hear it. Most of those times it comes as just thoughts and ideas. You just start remembering things. So you start checking, have I been treating my staff as if I own a business? And the Holy Spirit starts coming, connecting words you've heard before. Tells you that, why didn't you pay them on time? So our clients have not paid. So that's why your clients will not pay. You should be the one that gives. You should be the head and not the tail. You do the good things first. You start taking notes down. That's what David was saying here. When he was talking about this. That is, I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and I comfort myself. You start checking, have I been fitting myself? This is what Christianity is. Have I been fitting myself with what the ordinances of God are? I met a man once. I told you the story here. One of our brothers, his boss. We met at the election, on these last elections. So I said, so he brought a book, Business by the Book. I said, sir, this book? He said, yes. This is a man who does business literally, in billions of naira. He now said something. Now listen to this. A man who has done business internationally. He said, why? Election, you come for accreditation, and then you wait to vote. So sometimes it's up to 2 hours while you're waiting. He said, I brought the book to keep myself company. Now listen to this. He said, I need to read things like this once in a while, just to check whether I'm still serving God or I have begun to serve myself. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
He said, I need to read a book like this once in a while to check whether I'm still serving God or have begun to serve myself. That was what David meant when he said, I have remembered your commandments of old, your ordinances of old, and comfort myself. That is, if I check and I've been following the ordinances, even though things are not working, I'm comforted. Because things not working are supposed to point to me where I've not been following. So if I pray, if I fast, fasting is not to change God's mind. The fasting doesn't change the mind of God. It's the time you take aside to check, have I been adapting myself to his ordinances of old? If the answer is yes, then I'm comforted. It's not arrogance. You're the Lord, I'm checking my ways. Give me understanding and I shall live. Where am I not doing things that are proper? Are you getting my point? He now said in verse 53, burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked. Let's summarize like this. I am angry when I see people forsaking your law because I love that law. He said, your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. That is, anywhere I go in life, the thing I meditate on, the things I put on my lips are the words that you have spoken. I'm wrapping myself around your word. That's what David was saying. Now, he now said this. Oh, Lord, I remember your name in the night, and I keep your law. New Living Translation is perfect there. I reflect at night on who you are, O Lord. Therefore, I obey your instructions. Please go and listen to The Way, the Truth, the Life. When we talked about the Lord Jesus, he's not only a savior, he's our owner. That ownership thing is important for Christians to understand it. So we don't live the way we like. We don't tell him what we want to achieve, then he blesses us to achieve it. No, we ask him what is it that he wants us to achieve. What has he set for us to do in life? That's how we reason. We know he's our judge. Peter said he warned us to solemnly testify that he's a God-appointed judge of the living and the dead. Now we're looking at the book of Revelations. We see that he comes to the church and he says, listen, I know your works. I know everything you are doing. I know the books you read. I know the books you refuse to read. I know the friends you have. I know how you behave. I know the websites you go to. I know every single thing. David said, I meditate on who you are. Therefore, when I recognize all of these things, nobody needs to tell me that I should obey your commandments. I might deceive people. I can't deceive you. You know me. You know my inward parts. You see, this is Christian prayer we're talking about. Are you getting me? And I said, this has become mine that I observe your precepts. When I went ahead to verse 57, I read, the Lord is my portion. Now, please, I'm going to summarize because I'm in a hurry now because I'm supposed to preach somewhere and they're waiting for me now. Now, if you read from verse 57 to verse 64, where we read just now, let me summarize it. Now, what David said in this verse 57, down to that, because that segment, he was saying something which is summarized in verse 1. He said, the Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. Now, what was he saying when he said that? It's about the determination to hold on to the promises of God, to hold on to the ways of God, and to hold on to the commands of God, of the Lord, which we have been talking about. However, what is unique about here is that there David began to show the pressures, now listen to this, that try to take us away from there. That's what I noticed in this particular portion. And that's why it's a matter of prayer again. Prayer, listen, go and read that Hebrews chapter 4. When he was saying the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, he said that the word can get results. The word knows what it's doing. The word heals your body. The word brings forth your destiny. The word even brings obedience in you. He said, what is the problem? It's unbelief. If the word is not working, it is unbelief. He now said, what should we do? He said, let us draw near to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, what is that time of need? It's a time where temptation is strong, prompting us to disobey the word of God. That's what he was saying. So listen, we talked about it before, that obeying God is what we use prayer to do. Faith is not to use to get everything I want. Faith is used to conform myself to God's order for my life. People use faith to grab. They don't use faith to obey. The primary function of faith is to say, Lord, look at temptation here. And temptations, let me say something to you. Temptations are not always bad. What I mean bad is that they don't always look bad. It's not only a married man is going. A fine young chick starts tempting him. That's not the only thing about temptation. Sometimes, temptation is that I have planted you here, teach the word here. Do ministry here. There's something, somebody is coming, opens for you a door of business to make money and tells that when you make the money, they'll use to do ministry. The temptation of a good man is always a good thing. So instead of focusing on what you're supposed to do, doors will open. Like we said the other day, Apostle. Some of the time tell you that, look, if your church was in Abuja, it would be three times this size. And someone will tell you, he has found a land for you. Come and start. Yes, that's temptation. People think temptation is like, go and kill somebody. No, no, no. When they tempted Jesus, when Jesus got angry and called Peter Satan, what did Peter say? You will not die. I don't know whether you got my point. All Peter said is that you will not die. Nobody is beating you. Nobody is crucifying you. As long as me, James, and John are here. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Temptations often appear good. So, for that reason, we keep ourselves on the path of true righteousness, by faith. There are times we need to sit down and say, Lord, in fact, I was sharing with Bishop today. A point in time came, I said, Lord, if this is, because of the academic work that I do, you know, you want to sit down, you know, you want to get promoted. Anytime I settle down on those things, my spirit gets weighed down. Books and sermons I'm supposed to write, they start suffering. So one day I told the Lord, I dash you the promotion. As long as I said, this is tent making anyway. With prayer. Life can be tempting, no. Are you getting my point? When Jesus started ministry, they went and told John, the people you ordained decided the church down the road. The church is now bigger than your own. What is more? When last did you see Peter? John says, Peter doesn't come again. What about James? His brother, John. You seen them recently? No. Come and see Deacon Mike. He is now the one carrying the bag of Jesus. Are you getting my point? Jesus was ordained in John's ministry. And this Jesus, instead of him to go to another town, instead of me go to another town, he went down the road and started his church. So people came to John and said, people, men are not loyal again. I was here the day you laid hands on him. He was shaking like this. Was that not what happened? No, was that not what happened? He took Jesus, in case you don't know, took him and dipped the word of God in water for baptism. Listen, only the two of them knew what they were saying. Nobody has heard. It was John that was saying, ha, me, baptize you. I'm not worthy to remove your shoes. In case you don't know, in a home, the lowest level slave is the one that removes shoes to clean the feet of visitors. So John said, I am lower than the lowest slave in a household when it comes to you. Only the two of them knew what they were talking about. He dipped Jesus. Jesus came out. Holy Spirit came upon him. He got anointed. Boah. John had been anointed by that time for 30 years. When did Jesus enter ministry? Jesus finished Bible school yesterday. By the time he was baptizing Jesus, he had been anointed for 30 years. How do I know? From his mother's womb. They were about the same age, 6 months apart. And then that same young minister, to make it worse, your relative, it's your cousin, went out of the road, cleared half of your congregation. If you are not angry, you are anointed. Trust me, you are anointed. Believe me, so that you will not be angry. That's what I'm talking about. You kill that anger by prayer. You will kneel down and say, Lord, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. Lord, whoever you have chosen, let them do your work. I pray for my cousin down the road, who half of my church members have joined his church, and their tithes and offerings are now with him. In them. The Lord is good. Listen to me. That's what prayer does for us Christians. So that's what he was saying here. So life can be tempting. That's what I'm saying. Things in life come to drag us away from obeying God. And David gave a few examples. He said, I have sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to obey your commandments. Now this is one temptation. The cords of the wicked have encircled me. The pressures of life come and say, disobey the commandments of God. The wicked will treat you unjustly so that you can disobey the commandment of God. He said, despite that, I have not forsaken your law. He said, at midnight, that's another point, midnight comes, trouble comes, sickness comes. Look, lack of money, that's the point. Many pastors, lack of money is why they started talking nonsense. I've seen pastors that did not believe, forget pastors. I remember one colleague of mine, young doctor, grew up a staunch Catholic, believed in the sanctity of life. When poverty hit him, he became an abortion specialist. Look, he told me to my face, that old boy, it was not always like this. He said, the thing I feared the most in life is poverty. He said, when we were younger, I didn't used to do this. When the opportunities come, I refer them to my friends. So I didn't want to get involved. It's called midnight. The midnight of lack. The guy looked, oh God. Sometimes I'm praying, I said, Lord, those who don't know you, how did they cope? Sometimes I feel sorry for people when they do things that are against what I understand. But I realize they don't have understanding. They don't have understanding. That's why David will say, Lord, give me understanding that I may obey your commandments. Because if you look to the left, look to the right, they tell you there's no job, there's no future for your children. You will lie to go anywhere. Why some of us will not do that? Why you will not do that is simply because you have hope. You hear me preach all the time. I say, look, I don't care where my children will be. God will take care of them. That's why I will not lie to smuggle them to another country. The people have decided, they reach Europe. They say they are from Meduguri. You see, Uchechuku, Okechuku, his name will now become Danladi in Usman. Why? I'm from Meduguri. They bombed our house. No, it will be Danladi Peter Usman. He has to put a Christian name so that they can allow him asylum. Why? There's no hope in front. Midnight. These are the precious. So David said, at midnight, what do I do? I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. Now, please, I'm going to read this. I'm really in a hurry now. Verse 3 said, David says something in verse 3. This now, I want to say many things before I read it. This is how I encourage myself so that I don't disobey you. This is how I walk so that my life will remain pleasing to you. I make myself a friend to anyone who fears you, anyone who obeys your commandments. That's New Living Translation, verse 63. That's one method by which I obey you. If you look through this Psalm 119, you will notice that David gave us principles so that we can obey God. One, he said prayer. We see it's always praying. Help me to obey you. Give me understanding. Next, he said, I meditate on your statutes. I meditate on your ordinances. That's number two. What do I think about? What do I ruminate about? Number three, he said, I declare your ways before princes. That's what I say to people. A man came to me once, this was years ago, first came to Enugu. They were paying us some arrears of money, all right, for my cater of people. Then they were supposed to pay like 400,000 naira to my level. I got a lot, 800K. I said, this is for big boys, so not for me. I went to the accounts department. I said, what is going on here? Oh, one man said, I was coming to come and see you. So he followed me out. He said, Doc, there's no problem. Just give me a check for 200,000, I can keep the rest. He said, nobody will know. I looked at him. I said, somebody will know. He said, no. He said, we are the ones doing it. Nobody will know. I did like this. I said, somebody will know. I pointed my finger to the sky. I said, somebody will know. He got my point. I have declared your ordinances before princes. That's what he's saying. I have said to them, it is you I serve. When I was 7, that my colleague I was telling you about, who was an abortion specialist. One day, one guy came to me. Please, there's a problem. His girlfriend is pregnant. So, what's my problem? Okay, I can do antenatal care. There's no problem. Can give drugs, you know, take care of the pregnancy. He said, no now. What is no? He said that he needs to terminate the pregnancy. Listen to the point. Now, he doesn't want to go to the other guy. That guy, he doesn't like one guy there. He doesn't like. So that's why he came to me. You know, there's a way you say, when you want to give yourself trouble, you will say, you see, it's not good though. You know, in America, in Europe, in Nigeria, the Pope in Catholic Church said, you know, the Anglican priest said, no. You say things that will give yourself trouble. I said, Ogami, I'm a Christian. If I do it, I will die and go to hell. Boom. That ends the trouble there. Who will come and argue with you that you should die and go to hell? He looked at me like, I said, oh, it's a hellfire matter. It's a hellfire matter. I want to go to heaven. That's what David meant when he said, I declare your statutes before princes. Let everybody know, say, I decrease for head. I'm not normal. I'm not normal. And God has helped me where I work, you know, in the hospital there. I've held positions before of authority, which involves moving money up and down. I told the day a man came to me where I said, look, do this job, I pay you 1.5 million. He said, no, his money is 1.7. I told him I'll give him 1.4. We kept on arguing up and down. Then suddenly something struck me. This thing can be done, and at 1.4 million, you are making a huge profit. I even told him, if you do it in the next 5 days, I'll make the CMD send an extra 50,000 for you. I said, don't worry about it. I know I'm going to do it. The guy insisted 1.7 million. So I said, well, sorry, we don't have a deal then. He said, yes. So he got up to leave my office. Suddenly, you know when the Holy Spirit is nudging you. I said, come, you don't have to give me anything. He turned. You know what? 1.4 million was okay for him. The 300,000 naira on top was for me. But he didn't say it. He said he used to work in Nitel. He said the money won't come out except my portion is inside. I said, don't worry about it. You don't have to give me anything. You know what he said to me? Which church do you go to?
Wow.
He said, which church do you go to? He said he used to work in Nitel. That he knows his money won't come out. So that's why, once my own was not inside, his name is not doing. I said, don't worry. I promise you. Because we're under pressure for certain reasons. You will get your money out. In a week, I got his money out. I gave him the 50,000 extra I promised him. The guy could not believe it. Listen, one of the ways we keep our straight path straight. For that reason, in the hospital there, one day I told somebody, they said, retire some money. I said, he said, Doc, you know, it is you. Now that's the point. They said, they know you. So once I'm the one that makes a claim, they got that. Sign it. He's not lying. Don't worry, he didn't eat the money. So David said, these are the ways I keep my way pure. One, prayer. Two, meditation. Three, declarations. Four, I keep the right company. My friends are those who obey the word of God. You can't want a good marriage, your best friend is an adulterer. No. Once you start planning to get married, clean him out of, if he's a Christian, he can't be your friend. He's an unbeliever, clean him out of your life. Because he's subject of prayer and, you know, and sharing the gospel. Not a bosom friend. And last of all, David said, I keep thanking God. Every time he's always giving the Lord thanks. Let's rise to our feet. Let's begin to give him thanks. Let's give the Lord thanks.
Let's lift our voice and give him praise. Let's thank him for the words that we've heard. Thank him. Lift your voice and bless the name of Jesus. Thank him. Say, Lord, I thank you. I rejoice at thy word. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. That word is working in you. That word is changing you. All you need to do is to take in the word of God, and that is what you've been doing. It's working in you. Just give him thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I give you praise. I'm changing by your word. Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm a man of integrity. I'm a woman of integrity. Thank you because I love your word. Please give him thanks. Still give him thanks. The last point that Pastor made about the life of David was that he was a man of thanksgiving. You know, I read somewhere in the Bible, ingratitude was actually compared with sexual immorality. That is how weighty it is. I don't have time to bring it now, but just keep giving God thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you for this truth that you have sent my way. This is the truth that you have sent my way, and I give you the praise for it. Not everybody has access to this truth, but you have access to it. Say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I give you praise. Let's just take some declarations. Let's say, Father, in the name of Jesus, say, I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Son, I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Say, Jesus is Lord over my marriage. Say, Jesus is Lord over my business. Say, Jesus is Lord over Nigeria. Once again, declare, say, in the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus is Lord over my life. Say it one more time. Say, Jesus is Lord over my life. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am a new creature in Christ. Say, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Say, behold, in my life, all things are new. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I know I have eternal life. Say, I have eternal life. The very life and nature of God is in me. Say once again, say, the very life and nature of God is in me. Say, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, I overcome all the works of the devil. Say one more time, I overcome all the works of the devil. Say, I overcome anger.
I overcome
covetousness.
I overcome
greed.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
I am a slave to Christ.
I am not a slave to sin.
Say,
I am not a slave to sin.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
sin shall not have dominion over me.
Say it one more time. Say,
sin shall not have dominion over me.
Because I am a slave to Christ.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
greater is he
that is in me
than he that is in the world.
Say one more time. Say,
greater is he that is in me
than he that is in the world.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
I do not have the spirit of fear.
I do not have the spirit of timidity.
Say, I have a sound mind.
I have wisdom.
I have understanding.
I think like God.
Say it one more time. Say, I think like God.
One more time. Say, I think like God.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
it is God who is at work in me,
both to will and to do.
Say, God is at work in me.
He's empowering me.
Say, I'm empowered to do.
Say one more time. Say, I'm empowered to do.
Say, I can please God.
I can live holy.
I can live righteous.
Because Christ is in me.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
the Lord is my shepherd,
and I shall not lack.
Say, I shall not lack.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
because God loves me,
he will not withhold anything good from me.
Say, my blessing carries my name.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
the Lord is my strength and my life.
Say it one more time. The Lord is my strength and my life.
And I'm strong in the Lord.
Say with favor.
Say with favor.
The Lord has surrounded me.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
I'm not afraid of what men would do to me.
Say, I'm not afraid of what men would do to me.
Say, if I look up to the hills,
my help does not come from there.
My help comes from the Lord,
the maker of heaven and earth.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
my help comes from God.
My help does not come from any man.
Say, God is my source.
Say it one more time. Say, God is my source.
Say it one more time. Say, God is my source.
Lift your voice and give God thanks this evening.
Thank him.
Thank him.
There's tremendous power in these declarations that we've been declaring.
There's power.
As you're saying those words, power is made available. God is releasing power.
God is releasing power.
Five things Pastor said this evening. He said prayer, meditation on the word, declaration, association, and thanksgiving.
Give him thanks.
Say, Lord, I thank you for this word.
I give you praise.
Lord, we bless your name.
We thank you so much.
In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen. Father, with thanksgiving, we receive this word.
Lord, we ask that we'll be doers and not just hearers in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We ask, Lord, that this words that you've spoken to us this evening will produce fruits in our lives. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. How many of us were blessed? I believe every one of us were blessed. I like to take notes every time the word of God comes. Pastor made 5 points, and I'd like us to go home with that. He said, number one, David talked of prayers. Number two, he talked about declaring the words. Number three, number two, meditation. Number three, declaration. Number four, he talks about association. Then number five, thanksgiving.
All right, let's give God thanks for this word that we've heard today. Let's say, Lord, we thank you
for your word.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
we have strength to obey.
Say, we have strength to obey.
Say, I have strength to obey.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
this word to produce in my life.
Say, the words will produce in my life.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, let's take our declarations as we go home.
1, 2, 3, go.
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out of under the curse into the blessing. All things are passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Please say to your brother or your sister by your right or to your left, say, this is your season. One more person. And let's declare concerning ourselves, this is my season of multiplication and dominion. Share, brethren.